Well, I think, you know, I first of all started cooking from her book when I was much younger and becoming interested in cooking. And then as I was starting my cooking school in San Francisco, about the same time a gentleman back east started a professional society. She ended up joining this organization at the same time. So mostly I saw her at conferences. You'd think any time you get introduced to Julia, or anybody does, that you're her new best friend. And she remembered then a lot about everyone she met, and she was an incredible person that way. In 1980, I went back from having my own school to freelancing. And there was a school in San Rafael called Le Cordon Rouge, rather than Cordon Bleu. And invited her and was able to get her because of all the people he had teaching at his place, you know, with enough notoriety, I guess, to get her to come and teach 5 days, five classes. I got to be her assistant. And that was the time I got the closest with her. And after that, I always saw her every year at the conference for the IACP.
In the context of teaching these classes, can you tell us what it was like to cook in Julia's kitchen?
Well, she was very, very easy to work with. She never seemed to get mad at anything that might have been a little bit of a slip-up for us. I was just in awe of her. And one of the things is she was a very large woman, and I'm sort of a small woman, and I referred to us as Mutt and Jeff. And it turned out that that's exactly how we looked in pictures and everything else. But she was one of those people that just talked to you as if you were someone she was constantly informing you very nicely of how things are done without intimidating you at all.
Well, she seemed to have that sort of natural improvisational sense on television also. I can remember times when a little too much ingredient may have gone in, and she would then adjust the serving size and say, oh,
sure.
you can put a little extra in there.
She wasn't, like, strict or obsessive about any of the recipes. You know, on TV, one time, I guess she dropped a chicken and, you know, different things. And one time, one of the stories she told me when I was with her one time was, oh, on television, you know, all these things happened. And one time I just was shoving things off the counter onto the floor, just crumbs. And she made the quip that, oh, I have a self-cleaning floor. It's okay. And she said that the PBS station got so many calls about where they might be able to buy a self-cleaning floor. And then, you know, she never skimped on, of course, the butter. And she used to say to us, as time progressed and we all got into our non-fat era, so to speak, that you just have to do everything in moderation. And so that's been my creed, pretty much. I eat everything. I eat it in moderation. I don't cut out all the good stuff.
What's something that you think you personally learned from cooking alongside Julia?
I think I probably learned to not get frustrated at anything that might have come out a little bit wrong. I mean, not according to the exact description of how it was supposed to come out. If something fell a little bit in the middle, or like a cake, or something got a little bit too brown, that type of thing, is to not get flustered by the whole thing and just go on and make some remark about it. You know, you own up to it, but you just go on and you say, oh, well, we can fix that.
Julia's colorful personality really did, I think, boost the confidence of a lot of aspiring cooks.
Exactly. It made American women think about, well, maybe this would be something I could do, rather than being something that was so far-fetched. And just because it came from France, it was something that you could actually do at home. Like she said, life's short, eat the butter, eat the steak, and have that glass of wine. Or she was very fond of, you know, having some bourbon, gin, whatever. And it's like, just, you know, do it while you can, basically.